Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Today we're jumping back into our sermon series on our new Good Shepherd mission statement. And by way of reminder, our new mission statement is, the mission of Good Shepherd is to know God and His Word, to grow as disciples of Jesus, to care for one another, and to reach our community for Christ. That mission statement really sums up what we are all about and what we feel is most important to us in our ministry as a church, and more importantly, what God has called us to do as a church and in our community. And today we're going to be focusing in on part of that mission statement, the part about caring for one another. And as we think about that topic, I don't know what comes to your mind, but as I think about that, I'm guessing that you probably find yourself falling into one of two categories. The first category would be people that maybe just find it hard to care for other people. Maybe you just find it more difficult to know what to say or how to respond to someone who needs extra care, or maybe someone who's going through a hard time. Maybe you just don't know quite what to say or how to help them. Maybe you're just thinking that that might not be one of your gifts to care for and serve other people. Others are very gifted in that area. The second category is the category of people that maybe just find it hard to be on the receiving end of love and care. Maybe you're one of those that you'd rather just not talk and be open about the issues that you're going through or the ways that other people can care for you. And maybe you just have a hard time receiving that love and care. So whichever side you land on, I understand that. I can identify with both sides. But the bottom line and the truth is that Jesus calls us to love one another and to care deeply for one another. In fact, the passage that we're going to be looking at today in John chapter 13, which I encourage you to grab a Bible, and we're going to be looking at John 13, just a couple of verses today. But in that passage, Jesus gives this final command to his disciples before he is arrested and before he is led off to be crucified. These are some of his final words, his final charge, his final command to his disciples as he was going into that experience of dying on the cross for our sins. And John chapter 13, starting at verse 34, this is the command that we as disciples receive from Jesus. Verses 34 and 35 of John chapter 13. I invite you to follow along with me. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. God, thank you for these words. I pray that you would teach us today these words of Christ, these powerful words, this command that he gives us to love and care for one another. I pray that you would use these words and teach each one of us. You know our needs. You know what we need to hear, and we thank you that you meet us right where we are. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I want to ask you to think about is, what does it take to do what Jesus has commanded here? He said, "A new commandment I give to you." And of course, we want to follow the commands of Jesus. But that command to love one another, that's a big job. It's a big command. What does it take to build a loving and caring community? Each one of us long to be part of a loving, caring community. And we have a loving, caring community at Good Shepherd, but what does it take to keep that community going? What does it take to build that community? And what I want to look specifically at today are three fundamentals for building a caring community. And I've made it somewhat easy for you to remember today, and I'm just going to give you these fundamentals right up front here so you can kind of hear them together, and they rhyme, so that will help you even further. But the first fundamental is to genuinely care. The second fundamental is to openly share. And then the third fundamental is to bravely bear. And so we're going to take a look at what I mean by each one of these fundamentals as we look at the command that Jesus has given us. And the first one is to genuinely care. I think caring can be very vague. I mean, how much do you really care about someone? That's a good question. It can vary a lot depending on who the person is. We naturally tend to care a little bit more about the people we know better, the people that are closer to us. But Jesus outlines for us and tells us very plainly what caring, genuinely caring, really means. Verse 34, again, he says, "A new commandment I give to you." And so you might be wondering, well, what? A new commandment? He talks about that command is to love one another, right? So what is new about that command? It sounds to me like an old command. Jesus taught a lot about loving other people. And the Old Testament talks about loving your neighbor. In fact, Leviticus 19:18 says, "But you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So what does Jesus mean by a new command? Well, what he means is a fresh command or a fresh perspective on this command of loving one another. It's like it's having a new quality that Jesus is introducing here. So what is that quality that Jesus is telling us is new? Well, verse 34, he says exactly what that quality is. If you look on in verse 34, he explains what that love looks like, what that new perspective looks like. That you love one another, and here it is, he says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." That's it. That's it right there. That's the new command to love as Jesus loved, which honestly sounds overwhelming, doesn't it? Because the way Jesus showed that love within the next 24 hours is that he went to the cross, to die on the cross for each one of our sins, to take the payment that each one of us deserves. And so, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I just think that, well, that's impossible. It's impossible to love as Jesus loved, which in some ways it is. But that's the standard that Jesus gives us. And not only that, but because of the love that Jesus showed for each one of us, that is the power that we receive to be able to love and to care for one another. And so we are not dependent upon our own love and the caring qualities that each one of us maybe just have naturally on our own. We look to Christ. We look to the example of what Jesus did for us. But not only that, we have Christ dwelling in us. Those of you who are believers, who are trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have Jesus living inside of you. And because of that, his love lives inside of you. Now, we still have the flesh at work within us. We still have our sinful nature. So we are not going to love perfectly as Jesus did. But he outlines the standard by which we are to love. And really, the very essence of Christian love is sacrifice. That's what love really is when it comes down to it. We are giving up something for another person when we are showing love and care for someone. Because really, if you remove that, if you remove any notion of sacrifice, it's really not biblical love. Biblical love is unconditional love. It's purely giving of ourselves, and it's unselfish love, and it's unconditional love. We're giving up maybe our comfort, or we're going out of our way to encourage someone or to meet someone's needs, to give up something maybe that we have that will benefit someone else. What I want you to do is to jump to Romans chapter 12. It was read earlier in the service. But Romans chapter 12 just states it very plainly, and it expounds upon the teachings of Jesus and in this command to love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus said. We see really what this looks like in Romans chapter 12. And what I'm going to do for you this morning is I'm going to read this in a different translation. This is the New Living Translation. And the reason I chose it for this passage, because I think it makes it sound even more practical for us. But this is what it says, Romans 12, 9 through 16. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. I think that passage just really sums up the teaching of what Jesus is instituting here in John 13, loving one another as Christ has loved us. And as we think about that love, as you think about that love, the question that I want to ask you is, has Christ's love filled you to the point where you have genuine love for other people, and that love and care flows out of you because of what Jesus has poured into you? Because if we've experienced Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us on the cross, that is something natural that flows out of us, is our love for other people. Martin Luther said this. He said, "It is impossible for living faith not to have love, as it is for fire to have no heat." I'm going to repeat that. It is as impossible for living faith not to have love, as it is for fire to have no heat. And I could not agree with that more, that as we experience the love of Jesus, which we just celebrated as we went through Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we are filled then with that love. And that's the love to which God calls us then to pour out to other people in our love and care for others. And so first, we are called to genuinely care. The second fundamental is that we openly share. Now, what I want to ask is, have you ever known someone that maybe has been going through a hard time, something very painful, just some hardships that they're facing, and maybe you didn't know about it, or maybe a while after it's all passed, maybe you find out later, either from that person or from someone else, and you start to think, well, man, if I had only known, if I had only known what that person was going through, I would have reached out to them. I would have shown them love and care. Well, that's why I believe it's a fundamental for us, if we're going to build a caring community and maintain and be part of a caring community, is that we each are willing to openly share with one another the things that we're going through and the hardships that we're facing. If we want to build a caring community, we aren't only called to just care, but we're called to share our own needs and struggles. And we, Christy and I, have an example of this, of something that we went through. Many years ago, after we had our first child, Eben, a while after that, we found out we were pregnant again. But it wasn't too long after we found that out that Christy was having a miscarriage. And that was a very hard and painful time that we were going through, just mourning the loss of that baby inside her womb, and just facing all the pain related to that. And miscarriage is just a hard thing to deal with. People in our culture and even in our churches often just don't know how to handle it, don't know what to say to people going through miscarriages. It's just handled a little bit differently. So we were going through a hard time. We had let our family know and a handful of other people. But honestly, for the most part, we had this mindset where we kind of wanted to bear this on our own. Not intentionally, but that was kind of just our feeling. We didn't really want to have to tell very many people. We were part of a small group in our church at the time. And throughout this time, as time went on, we started facing some complications with the miscarriage. Christy was facing some complications just with how her body was going through that. And so we realized that we were still going through this painful time, not only just emotionally, but just what she was facing physically. And we felt like it was important that we would then share with our small group from church. And so we were getting together with them, and we had dinner together. And while we were sitting there around the dinner table, both other of the other couples announced at that time we're sitting there, they both happened to announce that they were pregnant. They were expecting another child. Both families were expecting at the same time, which of course, we were excited for them, but we were about to share what we were going through, the loss of our little baby through that miscarriage. And so it was kind of an emotional roller coaster just even in that moment. You know, we were happy for them, but we still wanted to be able to share what we were going through. So we had a good conversation with them. It was very hard and emotional at the same time for us. But as the evening went on, and later as we were sharing prayer requests with one another, we felt very strongly that we still needed to share what was going on in our life and the pain that we had just gone through with this miscarriage and explaining the complications of that. And we did. We shared it. And they were so supportive. They really came alongside us that night, and they empathized with us. They cried with us. And we, at the same time, we were able to rejoice with them in prayer, giving thanks to God for the life that he had given to each one of these couples. But after that experience, after we shared with our small group, it was just after that, that everything got resolved with the miscarriage. And everything, Christy's body did what it needed to do, and we got through that on the physical part of everything. But it was a learning experience and a lesson for us that we need to be open. We need community around us. We need church family to come alongside us and support us through good times, through hard times, through painful times, even when it's hard to share, and even when we don't know how people are going to respond. And what I want us to think about is, if we aren't willing to share about our struggles and our hardships, how are we going to expect that people are going to care for us? Part of loving and caring for one another biblically is being able to share openly. Romans 12:15, which I just read, Romans 12:15 puts it very clearly. Some versions say, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." The NLT says, "Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep." And we had a moment to be able to do that in our church small group that night that we gathered together. And we're all called to do the same, to love and care for one another in the good times and in the hard times. But then Romans 12:16 speaks to this, I believe, as well. It says, "Never be wise in your own sight." Or the NLT says, "Don't think that you know it all." And I think the lesson that we can take away from that is that we are to humble ourselves, that we aren't to think that we can just bear things on our own, that we can just plow through it, that we can just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just do this on our own. That's not how God designed us. That's not how he made us. He made us to be in community and to be dependent upon the support and care of one another. And so I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing today, what kind of hardships you're facing. I mean, we're all facing different hardships in relation to everything that's happening in our world and how we're all being impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. But whatever it is that you're facing, I urge you and charge you to talk to someone about it, to be open, to take a risk, and to just share openly about your struggles and even about your fears and about your anxieties, because there's one more step that God calls us to here. And the third fundamental, the third step, is to bravely bear, one another's burdens. And this comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I don't know, when you hear that, I don't know what you think. I know for me, when I hear it, bear one another's burdens, I get a little overwhelmed, because we all have enough issues of our own to carry. We all have different burdens that we're carrying. We all have family life happening. We have physical pains that we're going through, whatever it might be for you. And so when you hear that, maybe you're thinking, well, how in the world am I supposed to bear someone else's burdens when I find it hard to bear my own burdens? Well, I want to kind of give you an example. In our family, we have a chore chart, and our kids naturally kind of see those chores as burdens. And one of the chores on that chart is dinner cleanup. And so the kids take turns every night. It's their turn, one person's turn each night to do dinner cleanup. And I'm usually the one in charge of kind of seeing to it that that gets done. And every night, of course, they don't want to do it. And we're trying to work on them with that, kind of trying to improve their attitude. But what I'm finding is when we are able to come together, when I can come alongside them and say, look, it's not going to be that hard. You're still going to have to do it. But how about this? How about if you focus on your part that you're going to do, and I'm going to focus on my part, it's all going to go better. And it always does go better. But there are times if I tell them what to do and then I walk away and just kind of do my own thing somewhere else, they're left all alone to do this chore all by themselves, and they don't have the motivation. They don't feel the support. And I believe that the same can happen in our relationships with one another and the burdens that we're each carrying. As when we are bearing them on our own, there is it's a heavier burden that we're carrying. But when we can come together, there's something divine that happens. There's something beautiful that happens. Our burdens become lightened. Because I believe there's that principle of synergy. There's some kind of godly synergy that happens, that where we can be encouraged by one another. It doesn't necessarily physically change what we're going through. It doesn't necessarily change the circumstances, but we get that extra boost of energy, or we get that extra nudge of perseverance to persevere through whatever we're going through, because our brothers and sisters are there alongside us bearing these burdens with one another. One commentator, I want to quote him, he says, "We can support each other in every way. We can support one another in weakness, in ignorance, in inexperience, and in insecurities, hardships. We can support one another in grief and affliction." He says, "This is the blessedness of Christian fellowship, that each is not left to bear his load alone. Others will come alongside to help him bear it." And that is so true from Scripture. And I believe that's what Jesus is speaking about when he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And in verse 34 of John chapter 13. He says, he explains what the result of this kind of love is and what it does. Verse 35, he says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so what God does when we love and care for one another, he uses that as a testimony to the world. And we have great opportunity to do that right now in this global pandemic and in our community and with our neighbors and with our church family. And I know that many of you are showing love in different ways, and it's exciting to hear about that. I think of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Many of you have probably heard it at weddings before. Love is patient, love is kind, that passage. Well, I want to put a unique perspective on that for you today, especially in light of our circumstances that we're in. World Magazine had an article, World Magazine, that if you're not familiar with it, I highly recommend it. It's biblically objective journalism. And in there, in one of their articles, they are asking people, what do socially isolated people do all day? And so they're asking for different responses and different reflections on that. And this is one reflection that they received. And this is how to apply 1 Corinthians 13 to these difficult times that we're facing. This person says, "Love is patient. Love endures long Costco and supermarket lines. Love plays games with younger siblings. Love holds its tongue, builds others up, and does not tear others down. Love is kind. Love offers toilet paper and sends a card to grandma. Love talks to grandpa through a glass window and sings Sweet Caroline from windows and sews masks for hospital heroes. Love drops off food for a shut-in. Love does not envy. Love doesn't envy a friend who has a job or more money. Love does not boast. Love does not boast about having good health, but thanks the Lord for what we don't deserve and are blessed to have. Love does not dishonor others. Love does not make insensitive comments and jokes about people and about the virus. Love is not self-seeking. Love works at jobs for which it's overqualified. Love shows gratitude to the common hero. Love is not easily angered. Love doesn't become quickly aggravated with loved ones when you are in quarantine. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love forgives, forgets, and heals. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love washes hands and social distances. Love endures wearing masks for long hours. Love prepares makeshift hospitals in anticipation of the worst. Love always trusts. Love believes in others' best intentions. Love always hopes. Love prays for the downtrodden and makes encouraging sidewalk chalk drawings. Love texts encouraging notes to friends and sends funny memes. Love always perseveres. Love provides Zoom classes for students. Love broadcasts church online. Love doesn't end one's life. Love believes even this too shall pass. Love never fails." Is that true for you today? Does that give you strength and motivation to fulfill this command that Jesus has given us in John chapter 13, to love one another, even as I have loved you? But we look to him in dependence upon his love so that we can be filled with his love, so we can pour out that love and care and support for our fellow believers and for our neighbors and for our loved ones. Let's pray. God, we recognize and acknowledge that we cannot love in the way that Jesus commands us without your help. And we know we are not going to love perfectly. We're not going to care perfectly because we're still human. We still have our sinful nature. But I pray, oh God, that you would empower each one of us with that love. Your love would flow out of us. And I pray that you would use that as a beacon of light and a beacon of hope to our neighbors, to our community, and to the world around us, God, as your disciples come together in love and care for one another to be a testimony to the world. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.